ॐ जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयो श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः। ॐ शन्नो मित्रशं वरुणः शन्नो भवत्वरियमा शन्न इन्द्रो बृहस्पतिः शन्नो विष्णुरुक्रमः नमो ब्रह्मणे नमस्ते वायो त्वमेव प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्मासि त्वामेव प्रत्यक्षं ब्रह्म वदिष्यामि ऋतं वदिष्यामि सत्यं वदिष्यामि तन्मामवतु तद्वक्तारमवतु अवतु माम् अवतु वक्तारम्। ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः हरिः। ॐ ॐ May Mitra be blissful to us. May Varuna be blissful to us. May Ariyama be blissful to us. May Indra and Brihaspati be blissful to us. May Vishnu of long strides be blissful to us. Salutations to Brahman. Salutations to you, O Vayu. You indeed are the visible Brahman. You alone I shall call the direct Brahman. I shall call you righteousness. I shall call you truth. May Brahman protect me. May Brahman protect the teacher. May Brahman protect me. May Brahman protect the teacher. Om. Peace. Peace. Peace be unto all. So, we are studying Taittiriya Upanishad, very first chapter called Shikshavali. In that, we have come to the 9th Anuvaka, our 9th section. In the previous section, the contemplation on Pranava or Omkara or Brahman, the representative of Brahman, Omkara, is very beautifully described, prescribed. But meditation is one type of life. It is an internal life. But we are also creatures living in this world. We have bodies, we have minds, and our body and minds. So, that is very important, how to tune them so that we can contemplate. Our contemplation must make our bodies and minds perfect instruments. And our body and mind, in their turn, must be proper recipients and helpers in the journey towards the Lord. One is the physical side, another is the internal or subtle instrument called the mind. So meditation will not be successful if the body is and not cooperating. For example, if the engine and the body of a particular car, if they are not perfectly aligned, matched, it will not work. Similarly, if a husband and wife are not matched together, then the life will be extremely difficult. And we have to connect this everything in this way. That is called purifying the body and mind. Purifying means making the instruments fit for our forward journey. So, in this 9th section, one thing is most emphasized, and that is called Sva-Adhyaya Prashamsa, study of the scriptures, and in a way we can call it after hearing from our teacher, which stage is called Shravanam. We have to pay attention to the next step, which is called Mananam. But Shravanam also has to be kept in mind. This is what my teacher told me. This is what my scriptures. Why do we say my scripture? Because it is prescribed that those for the, especially for the Brahmins, and we are going to get it here. So anybody who is born, fortunate enough to be born in the Brahmana family, and their first thing, they are reminded, you are not born of mere ordinary parents, you belong to a particular gotra. Gotra means a founder, rishi. It could be Vishwamitra, Gautama, Bharadvaja, Vasishta, Atri, etc., etc. So, we are descendants of the rishis. And second fact is, simply saying, my great-great-grandfather was a grand person, will not do. We have to deserve to be called. Like, funnily, there was a person, and he was a master of four Vedas. So, society has given him the title Chaturvedi. Some people Trivedi, some Dvivedi. And many generations later on, the grandchildren do not even know what is the meaning of this name. Dvivedi, Trivedi, Chaturvedi. So, it is not going to help us. Two points, again and again, I emphasize. Spiritual life has nothing to do with God or with anybody. Spiritual life simply means, I want to be the happiest person in this world. How can I be very happy person in this world? The pursuit of happiness with discrimination and devotion, that is called spiritual life. Because funnily, God represents the highest happiness. If perchance God comes and tells, you can be devoted to me as much as you like, but I don't have happiness. I don't want, even if I have, I don't want to give you happiness. Let me see how many people will be devoted to God. Because we know God protects us. Meaning, God will give us always happiness, protects us from unhappiness. That means He will make us happy. So that is one of the points we have to understand. Second point is, we are alone in this world. Somebody cannot eat for us. Somebody cannot sleep for us. Someone cannot, what is called, think for us. Somebody else cannot enjoy for us or suffer for us. Whatever happens as a result of our actions, we ourselves have to experience. Therefore, if I want to be happy or if I want to be knowledgeable, my father was a happy person and knowledgeable person, or my mother or my husband, my wife will not do. And most people, they do not understand this point. If I have other people who love me, then I am a happy person. No, happiness comes only if you are a happy person, you are a happy person. So however happy your husband or your wife or your children, however knowledgeable they are, that's not going to help you excepting getting more and more ahankara. So how to convert our actions, not only of thoughts, of speech, and directly, physically, in the form of actions, and how those actions should be in complete alignment with our meditation. That is called karma yoga. That is why karma means action. Yoga means that which aligns us with the object of our meditation, which in this case is Atman or Brahman. And all the karma yogas have been divided into two categories. One is called Panchamahayagna. Another is called Sadguna or Daivi Sampat Prapti. So this particular chapter, ninth chapter, deals with these two. That is divine wealth, like Dama, Shama, Dama, Titiksha, Tapasya, Swadhyaya, etc. But it also tells us about Panchamahayagnas. Though Pancha means five, explicitly Bhuta Yagna or what is our duty towards animals, plants, the what we call nature is not emphasized here, but it is taken for granted. As an example I have given you, Hinduism always includes not only worship of gods, but sometimes animals as representatives of their vehicles like that. For example, Garuda or owl or a peacock or a bull. And in Hindu lore, a cow is considered the most sacred. Not only that, some plants, Bilwa plant is associated with Lord Shiva. Tulasi is associated with Vishnu. And Sila, even a piece of rock, a small piece of rock naturally formed, it can be what is called worship, used to worship as a Shivalinga or Salagrama. It doesn't matter. But what is the idea behind? Idea is this piece of rock represents all the mountains. Mountains represent all the forests, all the wealth, what they call fauna and flora. So everything is associated, nothing is redundant. The whole universe is one, holistic one. Everything is interconnected. That is the idea. And so we derive happiness, help and sustenance from the world. And in our turn, we also have to do that. If you ever study the kingdom of ants, for example, there will be a queen and there will be food gatherer ants. Then there will be soldier ants. Every ant has its allotted place, duty, and they die in that. And because of that, extraordinary secrets are being squeezed by scientists how it should be done. So if we study any creature, how beautifully a bird builds its nest, etc., etc. And we have already discussed some of the things, but here, at every stage, almost to 12 times, or if we include Rishi's opinion also, 13 times, Svadhyaya Ritancha Svadhyaya Pravachanecha. Svadhyaya and Pravachana. Svadhyaya means two meanings I told you, study of the scriptures and immediately examining oneself. Okay, this is the knowledge I got from the our scripture. How much is my life being followed or put into practice, practical Vedanta, of these teachings in my personal life? So, Svadhyaya and Svadhyaya, study of the scriptures, study of oneself. But then there is a secret also. Pravachana. Pravachana means what? This is also called, Pravachana is also called Brahma Yajna. You must have heard some Swami is holding Gita Jnana Yajna, or Upanishad Jnana Yajna, or Bhagavata Mahayajna, Ramayana Mahayajna, etc., etc. That is, whatever we understand, there may be people who do not know, as we never did before, but we must have heard from great people, wise people, or we must have read the books by them, but nothing like hearing to a lecture. However much one may study books, the understanding that comes from hearing is far, far superior than reading a book. That's why we hold classes on Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna or Karma Yoga, Bhakti Yoga. Many, many wise teachers are doing these things. And we hear from their mouths expression in the form of speech. Linguistic, understandable speech is far more helpful than anything else. So here, in this ninth section, the first two words themselves are beautiful. That is the key, that is the foundation for this entire life of anybody. What is it? So, ritancha svadhyaya pravachanecha, satyancha svadhyaya pravachanecha. And then, there are three divine qualities we have to apply. Tapascha, and as I said, after that, svadhyaya pravachanecha. Tapaha, damaha, shamaha. And these are the qualities we have to acquire. And then there is what we call four Mahayagnas. So for every householder, and this is called Devayagna, Agnayascha, Agnihotrancha. Then what is called Manushayagna and Riyagna are giving thanks to our fellow human beings. Atidhayascha, Manushancha. And then we also owe what we call to our ancestors. Prajacha, Prajanascha, Prajatischa. So four of the Panchamahayagnas are what is called imposed upon us. We have to do it. There is no other way. Then at the end of it, the Upanishad as if has approached three teachers. So many things are there. But according to you, which is the best guna we have to obtain? So one person, one rishi says, Satyam, because I have practiced it, I know what I am talking, and I know what I got by the practice of Satyam. Then the other person is asked, and he said, yes, my opinion is, the whole life should be turned into a yajna, breathing, eating, sleeping, interacting, everything should be converted into a yajna. And this is what Bhagavad Gita also says. But how to do that? Tapas. So whole life is a big tapasya. So even enjoying food is a big tapasya. Just as a sample, how can enjoyment be big tapasya? Because when we are enjoying something, we do not wish to put any limit to it. But we know too much of enjoyment brings the untold misery, suffering in every imaginable form. And therefore, we must enjoy at a particular time and in a controlled way. Just because I have money, I have things available to me, I can enjoy whatever way I like, the consequences will be terrible, disastrous. And to control, just enjoy. That too, after offering grateful thanks to all these Panchamakanamanis, I am grateful to all the rishis, all the gods, all my ancestors, all the other fellow human beings, and everything else in nature. And then as Mahaprasada, that is a great tapasya. Don't simply see food and open the mouth and then push it in. You say Brahmarpanam. Breathing, you do pranayama. So you are seeing, do tapasya. In what way? Badram karne behi shunyama devaha. Hear what needs to be heard, what is good. Badram pashyema akshavihi ejatraha. So, O worshipful ones, may we see what is auspicious. That means through all our five sense organs, may we see, hear, taste, touch, smell. May we think only what is auspicious. That means what will lead us to God. God means that we ourselves are God finally. Therefore, we are only realizing our true nature, which we at this moment we have forgotten. Only when we remember, if I have forgotten who I am, now I know who I am. That was all, my delusion is gone. Smriti has come. Nashto mohaha smritir labdha. But all this can come only by the grace of God. And the grace of God comes only when we do put into practice all the things that are indicated here. And before I go further, I want to add, we are devotees of Thakur. So, what is Ritam? Whatever Sri Ramakrishna said, that is the highest truth. Ritam means what? Knowledge, what is life, what is the goal of life, and what should be done in life, and what should be achieved in life. And that is called Ritam. And what is Satyam? Put this knowledge into practice. Practice Satyam. Practice tapas, practice swadhyaya, control the body, control the mind, and render service to everybody, etc. And what will happen? Because the whole universe is nothing but our own reflection. We do not understand it. That's why it looks like, oh, some people come, I am supposed to worship them. No, some people are not coming. You yourself are coming in that form. Just like you imagine your dream, suddenly your house, you are about to enjoy some movie, some cricket match, suddenly 10 people, 10 friends or 10 relatives, suddenly door crash and come in and you don't have sufficient food. Will you get annoyed or will you welcome them and then entertain them? They are not doing it on purpose, but for somehow they landed in that situation. They are not trying to test you. It is an incident that had happened as if accidentally. But how do we react to it? And if we do outside, even though we are cursing them inside, whatever is necessary, that is not called a yajna. What is called manusha yajna, etc. So, the whole life is meant only for self-realization, which in other words is called self-remembrance. Nothing but self-remembrance. So, for us, the devotees of Ramakrishna, and everything associated with him, Holy Mother, direct disciples, especially Swamiji, all the great Swamis, all the great householders like Nagamahashaya, Balaram Basu, then Ramchandra Datta, Vijay Krishna Goswami, they were not ordinary people. Then Gopal Erma, Golapma, Yoginma, they're all brilliant lights to light, to guide, to inspire our life. Even if we follow one of them, that would be most wonderful. So this is what we have to do. Remember them and then salute them. It is our duty. Every day we have to remember our Guru Parampara right from the beginning. Sri Ramakrishna's Guru, Totapuri, and his Guru, we don't know, but Shankaracharya. Then Govinda Bhagavatpada. Then Gaudapadacharya. Then Shuka Brahma. Then Vedavyasacharya. Then Narayana. Where did our Sampradaya start? Only from Narayana. That is what we need to understand. So this is a simple background and a few points are there. I wanted to highlight them. First of all, what is rhythm? That is what we understand the highest truth from the scriptures. That is called rhythm. That is to say, Shastra Jnanam, what is life? What are we supposed to do? What is our goal? And that is called rhythm. And then, not only about life, about the world also. And what is our relationship with the world? And how do we get all this knowledge? Regular study, Swadhyaya and Pravachana. And then, Satyam, practice it. And then, go on teaching it to other people also. Tapaha, austerity, varieties of austerity. Mainly three varieties. Manasika, Vachika, and Kayika. About which Bhagavad Gita outlines beautifully. Then Dhamascha, self-control, that is physical control, bodily control. Shamaha, tranquility. Then Agnayascha, for especially householders in the Vedic times, the kindling of sacrificial fire meant for every type of sacrifice. Agnihotram, that is imposed upon every Brahmin householder. They have to, every day, have to light up the fire and do certain things. Then Atithayascha, suddenly guests will come. Anybody who requires our help and hospitality is called a guest. Manushancha. So every day we are taking so much from people, we also have to give. Not only that, because most people are householders, so there are desires inside. One must get married. Why? Because the rishis understand there is a terrible desire But a person doesn't get married, he will be a danger to the society. So must get married to the proper spouse. Not only that, it is his duty to propagate, because nowadays even scientists are discussing this point, that where there is population growth is declining in the West. Why? Because the more children come, the less is the opportunity to enjoy oneself. What a horrible idea. So our enjoyment, selfish enjoyment, has grown out of all imaginable proportions. And scientific discoveries are also increasing, like pouring petrol into blazing fire. It will not put out, it will only increase. As days pass on, how many new gadgets are coming which we wish to enjoy, but that is not possible. So a person has to get married and lead a particular type of life, which we will see in the 11th Anuvaka later on. So that is called you get married and see that you teach your children whatever you received from your parents, that has to be passed on, not only physical food, but intellectual food, what is called culture. That is why in the Bhagavad Gita we get Kulakshaye Pranasyanti Kuladharmaha Sanatanaha. That is, once in war, the best of the blood is destroyed, then all the Kuladharma, Sanatana Dharmas, and that is what exactly is happening, is a wonderful study from especially Vedantic point of view. Before First and Second World Wars, how was the world? How were the ideals after First and Second World War? And now, almost not in name, but indeed, Third World War is going on. What is happening to the rest of the families? How are people turning? Kula dharmaha, sanatanaha. So, all these things, there was no father, there was sometimes no mother, or no elder to pass on those, how to live life, to tell about what is life, and therefore only so much of destruction will happen. Therefore, if we cannot get otherwise, then study of the scriptures is very, very, very important. Then get married, fulfill your desires in the manner prescribed by the scriptures, and then see that children are born, because in the Western world, as I said, the demagogical study survey is showing that they mentioned in some book that if France and UK does not produce sufficient amount of children, then they will be forced to get people to run the society from outside. That means they can be Chinese, Indians, or Pakistanis, or Africans, anybody. And in course of time, some of them will drive away or destroy the local population, and they will claim this is our land, and this is more or less happening everywhere. So, produce children so that society can run smoothly. But not only produce children, see that the children are passed on all the knowledge that we have, and then see that they also continue this progeny, so that the Kula Dharmaha, Sanatana Dharmaha are propagated. This is a beautiful idea, requires tremendous amount of meditation, how much society can benefit from these things. So all these are involved, and that is called Pitru Yajna, marrying, getting children, and training them, passing on your own experiences, knowledge, and making them also get married and go through all the samskaras. This passing on one's culture is what is called passing on the samskaras. Right from the marriage, vivaha samskara, garbhadana samskara, jata samskara, mundana samskara, namakarana samskara. So, and then one has to be initiated into the higher life, which we are familiar with, investing with sacred thread, and various other samskaras are there. And in the end, Antyeshti. A minimum of 42 samskaras are indicated everywhere. Anyway, so what is the, we have to study the scriptures, and what is the rhythm according to Shankaracharya? Yatha Shastram Jnanam. As the scriptures pass on their knowledge. What is a scripture? The experience of a rishi is called scripture. That's all. Nothing else. So many people say that God has passed on and become very fanatical about it. No. It is all a person, a great person, a recipient. He will receive that knowledge and then he is ready to pass it on to that. And then what is satyam? Yatha jnanam anusthanam. Achara. That is, whatever we learn, it must be put into practice, what Swami Vivekananda called practical Vedanta. So, all these things are indicated in this particular Anuvaka, which is the 9th Anuvaka. And in this correction also, especially a Brahmin householder is supposed to maintain fires. Fire is a representation of yajna. So, there are three types of fires are there. So, what is called a garhastya agni, one type of fire which is maintained since hundreds of years, and from that another fire is lighted, it is called ahavaniya fire, and with that fire one does this one. At the end, when a person dies also, it is only from this garhapatya agni that the funeral fire has to be lighted upon. So the whole life of a, especially Brahmin householder, is centered around his agnis. And this is called Deva Yajna. So, among the Pancha Yajnas, only the four Yajnas, as I mentioned, only Bhuta Yajna is included in the brackets, not explicitly understood. Not only that, we have to be grateful for everybody. Pancha Yajna means we have to be extremely grateful to all the five elements because of which our life is possible. That is why Upakarma, when some Brahmana does not only Sandhya Vandana, but especially on particular days, they are called Upakarma, that means subsidiary rituals, then we have to gratefully remember. As a simple sample, Rigvedam Tarpayami, I am grateful to Rigvedam. So, I convey my thanks to Rigveda. Similarly, Yajurvedam Tarpayami, Samavedam Tarpayami, Adharvana Vedam Tarpayami, Itihasa Puranam Tarpayami. You study the Bhagavatam or Mahabharata or Ramayana. That is called Itihasa. And Purana, Bhagavata is a Purana. And how many people got inspired by the study of Bhagavatam? So, not only that, how to understand the scriptures, we require what is called five types of or six types of what is called subsidiary Vedas, like Kalpa, Nirupta, Vyakarana, Jyotisha, Chandas, etc. We have to remember them also. Kalpam Tarpayami, Vyakaranam Tarpayami. Tarpayami means what? I convey my thanks. I am very grateful for what I have received. Not only that, we have to, of course, remember all the rishis, like Vyasacharya, and then Krishnadvaipayana. That's why Sarvan Rishin Tarpayami, Vyasacharya, Krishnadvaipayana, Vyasacharyam Tarpayami, Sarva Rishi Ganan Tarpayami. Not only that, Rishi Patnis, because without that mothers who are making it possible for their husbands to live the life of a rishi. So, Sarva Rishi Patneen Tarpayami. I gratefully remember, I offer a grateful thanks for all these people. Remember this story in the Bhagavatam. There were some Brahmins who were doing yajnas, and Krishna one day wanted to test them. So, he sent, "We are very hungry, give us some food." And they were so arrogant, they drove away all these village boys. But then Krishna, now he said, "Now you go to their wives and tell them Krishna is requesting that we are hungry, please give. And then these Rishi Patnis, though may not be so learned, really, really enlightened, they understood Krishna is none other than Parameshwara, and all the yagnas and yagas were meant only to please him. Tarpana means to please him. So, Pitru Tarpana, I want to please my ancestors. Like that. Rishi Tarpana, Shastra Tarpana, etc., etc. So then, as soon as they heard the name of Krishna, such a surge of devotion had come out of them. They ran with all their, even though their husbands were telling their ignorant village, illiterate boys, why are you running? They did not listen. They simply pushed aside their husbands, ran to Krishna and his companions, started an ecstasy of joy, serving them. And later on, the rishis understood how foolish we are, how blessed are our wives. They understood this Parameshwara, and instead of becoming spiritual, we have become arrogant, more worldly, and they must have begged pardon of Bhagavan Krishna. So, Rishi, Patni also has to be pleased. And in our case, it is Holy Mother. Holy Mother, how much she used to look upon Sri Ramakrishna's health. And because of that, he lived happily almost to the end of his life. She served him like anything. And if he has been talking about all these things, whom should we thank? Holy Mother. So, and then Sri Ramakrishna taught all these things to his disciples. So we have to, Narendranatham Tarpayami, Rakhalam Tarpayami, Mahapurusham Tarpayami, etc. We have to understand. We have to remember. How do you do that? Every day before meditation, remember the Guru Parampara. And part of that Guru Parampara is all these disciples. So not only that. So we earlier said, Itihasam Puranam Tarpayami. So it is a kind of, has become a habit. What is it? At least 5 items. Every Brahmana belongs to one shakha, one branch of the Vedas. So study thoroughly Swashakha Upanishad, Bhagavad Gita, Vishnu Sahasranama, Rudram, and Purusha Sukta, Nityam Avartayet Grihi. Every Brahmin householder has to do Parayanam of these 5. So this is a beautiful understanding. All these 5. Why? Because you don't understand Upanishad, then try to understand what is called Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam or the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. So we have to salute the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. And how do we salute? Before studying, what are we supposed to do? Tava katha amritam tapta jivanam kavibhiriditam kalmashapaham shravana mangalam srimadatatam bhuvigrinantiye buridajanaha. And when these 5 things are regularly recited, practiced, it is called Brahma Yajna, Rishi Yajna. That is there. Of course, we have to be helped with Dama, Shama. If we do not transform our life, what is the good of it? There was an incident we have to connect here in the life of Sri Ramakrishna. We have to remember that whenever we are studying, immediately, is there a parallel in the life of Sri Ramakrishna or Holy Mother or Swamiji? Once, Sri Ramakrishna was behaving very oddly. So he was behaving like a monkey. So he was practicing what is called Hanuman Upasana. And like a monkey, he was jumping, was not walking. So one day, Haladari saw Sri Ramakrishna. Sri Ramakrishna climbed deftly that banyan tree. And from there, he was passing water. And Haladari saw it. Rama, Rama, Rama. How are you going to marry off your children? Sri Ramakrishna got so angry and said, how could such words ever come out of your mouth? You are saying Brahma Satyam, Jagan Mithya, and yet you are talking about marrying, begetting children. Fie upon your mouth. This is called transformation of life according to our understanding of after studying the scriptures. And that is why it is called Indriya Nigraha. Dhamma means external control. Shama means thought control. And it applies to all the five sense organs. What should be seen? What should be avoided? Ramakrishna also tells, do not look even at the picture of a woman to his men devotees. Even some picture is lying. And what did Holy Mother say? If a female doll is lying on its stomach, do not turn it upside down to see. What is there to see? She understands what is there to see. So, Shama, Dhamma. And there is a beautiful saying about this quality of Shama here. What is it? Discipline of the mind. So, there is an English proverb. Watch your thoughts, they become your words. Watch your words, they become your actions. Watch your actions, they become your habits. Watch your habits, they become your character. Watch your character, it becomes your destiny. So, our fate, what we call our destiny, is not determined by some god or goddess living there. It is starts with our thoughts, words, actions, habits, character, and then we reap what we sow. In English language, that is there. So, destiny is determined by character, etc. So, therefore, Veda says, Tasmad yat purusho manasa vigacchati tad vacha vadati tat karmana karoti. There are many Upanishads. One of the Upanishads is called Visimha Tapini Upanishad. And then what does it say? Purushaha manasa vigacchati. So whatever desire a person cherishes, so he will think. Manasa vigacchati means is continuously dwelling upon that object which he wants to acquire. Every desire must have a object at the end as the goal. And whatever he is thinking, tat vacha vadati, it comes out from his mouth. That is why there is something, you know. So, suddenly one person tells to other person, I hate you. And then apologize, oh, I did not mean it. Somehow it slipped from my mouth. How can it slip from the mouth unless it is there in your mind? What they say in Bengal is, if it is not in your stomach, it is not going to come out. Anything will not come out of the stomach if it is not already in the stomach. And then, not only speaking, tat karmana karoti. And whatever a person speaks about is likely to follow that one. This is the translation into Sanskrit of the earlier, that watch your thoughts, they become words, watch your words, it becomes actions, actions become habits, habits become samskara, and samskara reaps your destiny. Therefore, Svadhyaya Pravachana. Then, every householder, he must practice the worship of the rishis, devas, etc. For that, he has to kindle the fire, etc. Actually, it is called yajna. Yajna means converting whole life. And so, there are certain types of fires. The first is called Garhapatya, and the second is called Ahitagni, and the third is called Ahavani Agni and Dakshina Agni. And these are the three fires, and they will have to do. And in the earlier days, there are 26 types of yajnas have to be done. Roughly, is a Sapta Paka Yajna. So, how to what is called cook certain things. Sapta Havihi Yajnaha. Seven types of offerings to be given. Sapta Soma Yajnaha. And seven types of yajnas in the name of Soma Tarpana. So, 3 into 7, 21. Plus Panchamaha Yajnas. How many? 26 rituals. All these will come under what is called Deva Yajna. So, what is this Deva Yajna, that is, we show our gratefulness to all the gods and goddesses because of whose grace we are able to live, not only live, healthily, happily, etc. Of course, we are dependent upon human beings, that is called Nriyajna or Narayajna, and then Pitriyajna, that is you get married for most people. So our Vedas recognize there are some advanced people. So from after returning from Gurukula, immediately they will become, either they become sannyasins or they become what is called Naishtika Brahmachari. They will remain as Brahmacharis and they will not get married. They are more than even sometimes sannyasins. So these are the two choices are there. And of course we have to get married and to procreate child. And Sri Ramakrishna, not strangely really, he was only God who created the Vedas. He says, if a wife is good, the husband must give her at least one child so that she will be satisfied to be called as, I'm a mother. That's what Holy Mother said. I don't want to lead a householder's life. I definitely would like to get some children. So not only that, bring up the children in the right manner. That is also Pitruyajna. And see that your children will continue the Guru Parampara, especially in the olden days. What is it? Not only you should study whole life, you should also teach what you have learned. And as we go on doing, our understanding becomes deeper. Like that, a Swami is giving talks. Maybe in course of time, his understanding grows. Not that from the he has fallen from the sky with full knowledge. That is possible only to avatars. But all of us, including me, every day I have to learn some new truth by hearing it, by reading some people's, great people's works, etc. So that is the one of the part of the Pitruyajna, like that. And then in the end, the Upanishad as if is asking, so you have told so many things, what is interesting? So there was one person called Rathi Taraha. So he is name of a rishi and he comes from the lineage of Rathi Taraha. And the progeny of Rathi Taraha is called Rathi Taraha. Like Dasharathi is the progeny of Dasharatha. And he practiced Satyam. Sri Ramakrishna said that my father never deviated from truthfulness. He did not say, but no untruth had ever escaped from Sri Ramakrishna as well as from Narendranath. So he was Satyavacha whole life. And naturally, what he practiced, he has taught to others. So as it were, he said, Satyam is the greatest of the virtues to be cultivated. Another person was there. He was always practicing tapasya. And he was called Taponityaha, means the whole life is full of tapasya. And he is called Paurusishtihi. Paurusishti is the name of the rishi. And then he practiced tapas. There he said Taponityam, that austerity is one of the greatest virtues to be practiced. Remember, in our Ramakrishna order, Swamis Turiyananda and Adbhutananda are called the very embodiments of tapasya. So this rishi says, tapasya, penance, and alone is the greatest austerity. But a third rishi, and he became enlightened because of this meditating always, shravana, manana, nididhyasana, and he emphasized swadhyaya pravachana eva. And if somebody really does swadhyaya and pravachana, then he will get enlightenment. Iti nakaha maudgalya. So this third rishi is known as Maudgalya. And he is also has another name called Nakaha. And this third rishi says swadhyaya pravachane eva. Now the rishi who is teaching this to his disciples, he was asked, now you have enumerated so many and you also have given, studied the opinions of three of the greatest rishis, and what is your opinion? And then he says, I agree with the last person, Swadhyaya Pravachanam Eva is the greatest tapasya, greatest practice of truthfulness, tad hi tapaha, that alone, the greatest tapasya. What is tapaha? Tapa means to what is called burn. Tapasya means what? That which burns away all ignorance or ajnana is called tapasya. And study of the scriptures and trying to meditate upon them, practicing them in one's own life and passing it on to the next generation without any selfish motive. These two are called Swadhyaya and Pravachanam. And for us, the followers of Sri Ramakrishna and Holy Mother, it's very important we study every single day at least the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna. And I would even go so far as to forget about Gita. And only out of some kind of blind faith we are studying Gita. Most people do not understand it. But study the Gospel of Sri Ramakrishna, pray to him and meditate upon each word. And in course of time, Gayatri, Sri Ramakrishna, she will give that buddhi, that medha, dhiyo yonaha prachodayat. Then we will understand. And understanding definitely produces beatific thoughts, and noble thoughts will come out through the mouth in the form of noble words, and noble words will transform into noble actions, and this is one of the greatest practices in life. Therefore, never neglect Swadhyaya Pravachana. This we will also get in the 11th Anuvakar section, which we will see. So I will stop here today. Om Jananim Sharadam Devim Ramakrishnam Jagadgurum Padapadme Tayo Sritva Pranamami Mohur Mohoho. Today happens to be the most auspicious Kalpataru day, on which day Sri Ramakrishna had touched and awakened, or even by look awakened, the spiritual consciousness of people, and he blessed. And so many people had experienced temporarily at least some of the greatest spiritual realizations. And therefore, our devotees celebrated in the name of Kalpataru, a very auspicious day for all of us. May Sri Ramakrishna, Holy Mother and Swami Vivekananda bless us all with bhakti, jnana, viveka, vairagya and shraddha. Jai Ramakrishna.